The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at the 12th verse. "Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving, when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The overall focus of our worship today, starting with the texts and working through the hymns, was supposed to be missions. Life in these gray latter days seems to be filled with polarities, and the church isn't immune. Throughout the church, there seems to be a polarity over those who would emphasize the doctrine the church believes, teaches, and confesses, and those who would emphasize missions, what flows from the inner life of the church. Without commenting on other polarities in our lives, I hate this one in the church for two primary reasons. It's a false polarity. Mission, that horizontal life of the church in the world, grows out of her vertical life with her Lord. Mission is pointless if you don't know the one who calls and sends. Likewise, as Paul would talk about love last week, if you know all mysteries but have not love, it doesn't sound right. Or this week, if I'm speaking in tongues or praying with the Spirit, but it doesn't build up the church, we aren't thinking. And all the polarity allows, in my observation, is that those who talk most stridently about doctrine are the least likely to have been cut to the heart by it. And those who talk most about mission are the least likely to actually teach the faith. The polarity is a camouflage for disobedience. And that brings me to the first of three things that I want to reflect on today. The life of faith often begins with an act of obedience. There are two of them in our text. The first is the simple one. The crowds around Jesus have gotten extremely large, so large that they are pushing him into the sea as they crush in to hear him teach and bring forward those who need healing. So Jesus commandeers a boat. Simon's boat becomes Jesus' pulpit for the day. And as the crowds press right up against Jesus, he sits in that boat and he asks Simon, still Simon, not yet Peter, to push out a bit from the land. And evidently, Simon does this. It's been a long night. That's when fishing takes place on the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake of Gennesaret. That's when the fishing is done. We learn later that it's been a fruitless night. The fishermen were trying to get their gear in order, washing the nets for the next evening. The request to shove out a bit, you can imagine, would be slightly annoying. But who knows? Simon is probably not looking forward to trying to push through those crowds. And maybe the itinerant preacher won't even be a bad show. Maybe he might even get a denarius for the use of his boat. Make up a day's wage for no catch. So Simon obeys the request and pushes off to give Jesus a place to preach from and to hear him. The second act of obedience is the harder one. Jesus has completed his preaching for the day. We all know how long this was, but there's no reason to not assume that it wasn't most of the morning. And Jesus turns to Simon, who, after that long, fruitless night of fishing, has just listened to a long sermon. And he tells him, push off into the deep and let down your nets. Not the simple act of obedience, of giving Jesus a listen, but an act of obedience, putting his words into action in his life. Not a polite hearing of the doctrine, but an action of personal mission. And Simon rehearses all of the reasons why this is stupid. But he does it. We're walking on a mystery here, so there's no complete explanation of it. But if faith could be proven simply with teaching or logic, it would be so much easier. But faith finds its proof in the testing, when you don't really know if it's there. Do I really believe this? What is being asked is crazy. We didn't catch anything all night. It won't work. Or it might work for me, but it might make sense to me as my personal truth, but the truth? Push off into the deep. Put down the nets for a catch. See what faith brings up. The Lord desires to give the catch. And Simon obeys. He follows faith, however half-formed and skeptical or sarcastic it might be at this point. Simon obeys that request of faith. And they enclose a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. The Lord desires to give that catch. And what a catch the catch of faith is. The practical implication of that first blush of faith overpowers in the moment. Simon signals to his partners to come on over. They fill both boats much better than a denarius. They've heard the teaching, and they've already been on the mission. Both boats are full to the point that they are sinking. They can't contain the reality. That brings us to the second thing I want to think about today. The real life of faith is not about that obedience, although it needs that proof of faith to start. The life of faith is found in the experience of God. When Simon sees both boats overflowing with fish and almost sinking, the real truth hits him. When he sees the proof of the teaching that he's heard and of faith, he knows that this Jesus is not just some traveling rabbi. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's the proper response to encountering the holy. That's Isaiah's response in the year King Uzziah died. Woe is me. That's every person in the Bible but Mary's response to seeing an angel. The angels always respond, be not afraid. God is holy, and we are not. That means something has to give. And the natural response is that the unholy must die. And it must. Because what is the life of faith? What is the path of sanctification other than the long death of the unholy? God wants to make us holy. That's what last week's lesson was about. The preaching to declare the coming of the kingdom and the casting out of all the demons. And we're all full of them. Some of them require extravagant means, like exorcisms and baptisms. Others come out by a life of fasting and prayer. God wants to make us holy. Which means that our old lives, that old Adam, must die. At the high point of Simon's life as a fisherman, with two boats sinking full of fish, Simon has met God and knows what is placed before him. This is part of the danger of being in a pulpit, being in a boat. You're teaching, you're proclaiming things that you know from the text, maybe you know them from your own life, but you are likely proclaiming the death of the old life to many hearers. You hope that they will experience Jesus, that they will take that little obedience, because this is salvation. But you're preaching the death of the unholy. You're preaching a new life that only God knows. So that's the third thing that I want to think about. If you have pushed out into the deep with that small obedience, and if you've experienced the holy God, which means the death of the old life and a recognition of the smallness of it, God does not just let that boat sink. Neither does God leave Simon. He didn't abandon Isaiah. He doesn't leave Paul flailing blind on the Damascus road. God comes to this unholy dead thing and gives it new life. Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Don't be afraid. Yes, the death of that old life, of that old Adam, is traumatic. Don't be afraid. It has to be. Don't be afraid because you have seen God. And God is not just holy, but he's merciful and mighty, full of steadfast love. And today, he visits you. Don't be afraid. He's come to give you life, and to give you life abundantly, more abundantly than that catch of fish. Don't be afraid. Your old life has died, so that you are now children of eternal life. Eternal life hidden in Christ. Don't be afraid. And that call is not yet the call to rest. It's the call to mission. That mission, that new life, can be very different for different people. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, and so forth, as Paul says. But we are all part of this body of Christ. We all have a purpose in this new life. The simplest way to say it is that for the first time, we can actually love our neighbor. I'd say rather famously, Jesus never tells any of the disciples what they must do. He simply says, follow me. Luke elides that famous phrase. He ends his story knowing that we've probably heard that before and tells us Simon's response. When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The request didn't need to be spoken. Simon had seen God and he had lived. Were they going to just go back to fishing? We can. Many do. We can go back to the dead life. We can let the mystery fade. We can try and segment it off. We can try and polarize the requests upon our lives. Set one request against another and hope that we can keep for a bit longer something of our dead life. We can set the teaching against the mission. We can set the vision of God against his mission in the world. We can continue dying. Or we can live the new life. We can leave everything and follow the one who is our life. We can figure it out as we are being made holy. Amen.